Titus chapter 3, please. Titus chapter 3. All right, let's all stand, please. We're going to just read two verses this morning. This will be the text for next week also. We'll focus on the first verse today and the second verse next week. Everyone look at me before we read. The title of the sermon this morning is this, In the Nitty Gritty. I do not know if that's language. Thank you, Steve. I do not know if that's language you use. This is what I mean. Everybody look at me. Don't do religion. Your Christianity has to come down to who's cutting the grass? Who's doing the laundry? Too much Christianity is just all this up in the air, wonderful stuff. Then you go on Monday and you're just lost. You don't know how to live your life. You don't know how to move forward. By the way, these verses are nitty-gritty verses. That, you know, when I used to work in the hospital setting, we'd have meetings. And after you'd have one person do all his flowery talking, then we'd say, all right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty now. How are we going to do this? That's what this verse is about. It is not going to be your favorite verse, but I will promise you this. You will like the sermon. I'm not going to directly speak to you because I'm going to talk about Paul. So it's going to be indirectly to you. Can I say this to my young people? You actually need to listen to life. This isn't religious time. This is how we live our lives. Verse 12, Titus. We're almost to the end of the book. Paul says this, when. The Greek word hatan is a word that means when, but it's a word that's indecisive, meaning he's not saying next Tuesday morning at 4:30 a.m. It's whenever. It's undetermined. We're not sure exactly. So, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or I'm not even sure if I'm going to send him, I might send Tychicus. Be diligent, Titus, to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Now, next week will be these two verses go together. Next week will be this, because this is a verse on missions. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos, this is the phrase, on their journey, on their missionary journey, and do so diligently, that nothing be wanting or lacking unto them. That'll be next week. This morning, we're going to look at verse 12 and apply it to our lives. Please look at me. This is the nicest sermon you'll ever hear me preach. But it's one of the most important because so many people, it's like they have a theory of Christianity, but the way it works, they're just lost. It's like Christianity has nothing to do with what they do tomorrow. This is the nitty-gritty, how you do things, how you function. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, help me as I share some simple ideas, nothing deep, but boy, just things that we have to learn along the way. And they're all important. Help me, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, please look at me. I'm going to say four ideas this morning about Paul. Are you ready? Some of you in this room, the first two is all you need to hear. Some of you, you know too much about the first two, and the third and fourth will be your whole life. It'll be for everybody. Some young people need to get point one and two. Some older people, you will get three and four whether you want to or not. I think I woke up this morning to news that demonstrates that very well. I'm assuming some of you know what happened sometime last night or this morning. Well, a friend of mine, he's preached here many times, he now pastors, and of course is the main theology professor at Central Baptist Seminary, Dr. Kevin Bowder. Good friend of mine, talk to him every week. His wife is a lovely lady, good friend of my wife's, good people. I met him for the first time in 1999. I heard him speak, I believe it was 99, it could have been 2000, in Pennsylvania at a conference on a theological subject. Not important what. Later, I met him at the conference we have in Rockford. I met him there several times. I talked to him some here and there. I finally invited him to come here to speak, and gradually we became friends. Now, we're pretty good friends. We're both weird. My daughter would say we're both nerds. He's the only person that I have personal acquaintance with. The only one that reads like I do. The only one. Well, but do you know how I heard about Kevin Bowder first? T-Tom. Have any idea? Here's Kevin Bowder, 2 earned doctorates, brilliant guy. This is the first thing I ever heard about Kevin Bowder. He was in a deer stand. Did any of you remember the story? The deer, by the way, we better back up. Does everybody know what a deer stand is? I'm looking at Nellie. Nellie has no idea what a deer stand is. In the wilderness areas where they hunt deer, you build a stand up in a tree. So, you know, the deer will walk under and you hunt deer, certain kind. You can't hunt everything. Sorry, Nellie. That's self-evident to me, a deer stand. By the way, have I ever been in a deer stand? No. I'm a country boy who doesn't like to hunt. I don't like to fish either. You say, why not? How do you hold a fishing pole and read at the same time? I can't do it. My first knowledge of Kevin Bowder, he was up in a deer stand, and the deer stand collapsed, and he fell like 25 feet down. Now, Kevin is not like Big B. Big B, do me a favor. Stand up, would you? How tall are you? 6? About my height. We look the same, don't we? Kevin looks more like me and less like Big B. Thank you, friend. He fell about 15, I think it was 15 to 20, maybe 25 feet, and woke up. Didn't know where he was at, couldn't move, couldn't use one of his arms, couldn't walk, and he's out in the woods. Now, are you listening? We're talking about nitty-gritty. You'll understand where I'm going. I got a question. Do you think that was part of his 5-year plan? I got my life all planned out. Boom! No. My favorite statement along this line is COVID. For some of you that have interviewed for some kinds of executive jobs, they always ask this question years ago. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Nobody saw COVID. Nobody said, next year we're going to have COVID. We're going to have to wear a mask, distance ourselves. By the way, the sermon this morning is on the nitty-gritty, how we live in this world. I say behind me this statement, enter the nitty-gritty. It's all the stuff the movies leave out. Can I ask you a question? You ever watch a movie and realize they left out life? Nobody ever works. Look at me. No one ever cleans the bathroom. All the stuff that you have to do, they leave out. That's what we're talking about this morning. The stuff you have to do. And we all have to do it. And by the way, if you're a daydreamer, you skip all of this. I'm going to find a guy. Or if you're a guy, a young lady. And they're my dream. I better not go there. You'll figure out they're not a dream down the road. Yes. Well, let's look at verse 12, please. Notice what Paul says, and I'll just focus on 2 underlying words. When I shall send Artemis. So he's talking about his plans. I'm going to send Artemis. He's planning things. Later he says, for I have determined. He has planned and thought through and decided I'm going to winter or spend the winter in Nicopolis. That's all about planning. My first statement, by the way, I've already told you this is not deep, but it'll catch up with you as we move forward. Number one, Paul. Paul planned his work. You always must plan the work that God has called you to do. Planning, planning, planning. Some people, they walk through life like they're in a dream. Friends, I'm not one of those people. When I was in this church, my whole life was, I had decided, I knew what God wanted me to do. So I planned, I'm going to leave here in May of 1981. I'm going to go to Bible college. Are you listening? I'm going to go to Bible college. I decided what kind of grades I was going to get. Don't you decide that? I decided how much I'm going to work, how I'm going to invest my life, because I am a driven kind of person when it comes to these sorts of planning. Paul planned his work. I'm going to send these guys. I'm determined to stay here for winter. Titus 1 verse 5 takes it a different direction. This is part of Paul's planning for the island of Crete. For this cause left I thee in Crete. I mean, he left Titus there. It's part of his plans. Now, don't do religion, because I'm going to back away from religion. We're talking about your life, not just Paul's. But Paul planned. Paul planned his work. Ephesians 6, verse 21, we find this guy Tychicus again. But that you may also know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known unto you all things. 2 Timothy 4:12, we pick up with Tychicus again. And Tychicus have I, again, he's always sending people. Paul was planning his work. Paul planned his work, i.e., we plan our work. Now, for Paul, we'll get to it in a moment, he was a missionary, what we would call a missionary church planner. So the gospel just drove his life. In Mark 16, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That controlled Paul. Let me say it to all of you. Failing to plan. By the way, the person that cannot plan where they're going, where are you going? What are you doing? Some people do well in the military because the military plans your life. Get out of the military, they don't know what to do. Some people do well when they go to college because college says, here are your courses this semester. By the way, you have to live your whole life saying, where is God taking me? What's God want me to become? What does he have for me? Failing to plan is planning to fail. Remember, I already told you, some people, this is going to be, but it won't be soon. Just hang on. Paul is Paul. No one has ever been like Paul. No one has ever been as single-minded as Paul. I don't think Paul ever thought about retirement. I don't think Paul ever thought of, I think Paul thought about running to the last breath of his life. I don't think there's ever been any normal human, the Lord Jesus was this way too, as single-minded as Paul. And I want to say this, you don't have to be as single-minded as this, because life consists of more than one thing. But I do have questions for you. Why are you here? I'm looking at you. Why are you here? Why did God leave you on earth? Why do we have people bumping into walls wondering where they're at? Paul planned his work. That's the nitty-gritty. You say, well, I prefer religion. Jesus loves me. I do too. I like that. But Jesus loved me has to turn into something on Monday. What that looks like. Why are you here? What are your purposes? I remember talking to a guy in my office. I've talked to too many guys. It's usually guys like this. Talking to a guy in my office, I asked him his purpose. He had no idea what I was talking about. He was in his 60s. He looked at me like, purposes? I'm supposed to have purposes? I work a job. I make money. I watch TV. What else is there to do? What are you here? What are your purposes? What are you here to do and accomplish? How about this? Tell me your plans for your life, what God put you here to do. When I left this church as a single, not a single, I had been married for a couple of years. In 1981, in May, I was planning on going to Bible college, planning on getting 2 degrees. Planning on moving then into full-time ministry. And everything I did fit into that paradigm. I didn't waste time. I had to accomplish what God wanted me to do. As Ecclesiastes says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So, you're in the military. What are you accomplishing? What are you there for? What do you want to become? Where do you want to go? You're out of the military. What are you here for? You are not here to do nothing. Paul planned his work. By the way, you're going to notice, I'm not going to tell you what you're here for. You have to figure that out. But we're not here to be nothing, to hang out. So, Paul planned his work. Number two, nothing deep here, friends. Let's look at Titus 3:12 again. When I shall send. It has the idea of planning, but it has another idea beyond that. I'm going to put that into effect. For I have determined, that's the planning, and he's going to bring that into effect. Titus 1:5, for this cause, he's telling Titus why I left you here in Crete. So, number two, Paul not only planned his work, he worked his plan. He is going to bring it to pass. That was his goal. I'm not going to say any more. I will say it one last time. The first two points are for all the young people in this room and for all the men and women that have no purpose in life. I'll come to the rest of you in a moment because then there's the other part of the nitty-gritty that we don't know how to deal with. In your behind me, thoughts. Paul was a church planter or a church planting missionary. Paul traveled constantly. I want to say this. Have you ever wanted to meet somebody? This is my guess. Paul was, for most people in his day and worse today, he would have been a weird person. By the way, I don't think most people need to be like Paul. Are you hearing me? I don't think most people do. I don't think he had a life except one. I think when he got saved, he knew exactly what he was here for, one thing, and that's what he did. He never married. He didn't have children. He tells us about this. That's not God's calling for most of us. But can I say this? Paul planned his work and he worked his plan. God has called me to spread the gospel, start churches, and he brought that to pass. That's what he did. So, Paul was a church planting missionary. He traveled constantly. He kept contact with all these churches, which would have been very difficult in that time. How do you keep contact with those churches? Difficult. Next, Paul trained and used other people to pastor the churches that he started. By the way, he didn't pastor all of them. He trained other people. All of this is planning his work, working his plan. This is strange. Paul had no home base in reality. Some people will say it was Antioch. Yeah, but he didn't go there very often. Paul lived on the move. I don't think there's ever been people quite like Paul, but it gets down to the nitty-gritty. So, Paul, what are you here on earth to do? Well, God has called me, everybody knows this if you read the Bible, to be an apostle to the Gentiles, to spread the gospel, to plant churches. Okay, Paul, that's your plans. What are you going to do? And Paul says, this is how I'm going to do it. And he gets in all of his letters, he gets into little pieces. I'm sending Titus here. I'm sending Timothy here. I'm sending Tychicus here. I'm leaving you here. I'm pastoring here. I'm moving there. All of this is planning your work, working your plan, not sitting around and wondering what's on television or how can I waste the next 8 hours of my life? No, I think we have to come down to some serious things about our own lives. All of us do. Paul had no home base that I can see. Seemed like he was always on the move. Next, Paul was limited or constrained by his time, place, and technology. I think I have verses behind me next. Acts 27. You'll find some weird things. There's the word winter found in the New Testament 5 times. One time it's a noun, 4 times a verb. We'll read these. Paul had to travel. His base was the Mediterranean. He mainly went into Asia Minor, then he went into Greece, went to Rome. He went into the Promised Land, of course. He wanted to go as far as Spain. He was in the Illyrian Peninsula, modern-day Yugoslavia used to be. He went every place. He planned it. He worked his plan, but he was limited. Why? Read with me, please. I will read from my notes. You can read from behind me. Acts 27:12, it says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter, meaning you had to travel by boat around the Mediterranean. And friends, these were not ocean-going vessels. These were little messes of boats, and you couldn't travel in the wintertime. So this winter keeps coming up because Paul is constrained. How am I going to get to this place before winter? Well, this particular place was not a place that you could put your small boat or ship in for any length of time. It was not commodious to winter there. It goes on to say, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, there to winter, which is an haven of Crete. So there was a place they could get to that you could put a boat in for a while that would be safe during the storms of winter. Acts 28:11. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. 1 Corinthians 16:6, Paul says this, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you. This winter thing. All right, I got a question. How many ships, modern times, are on Lake Superior in January? Why? Even modern ships, ice. Even in Lake Michigan, some years, ice. The Coast Guard, our half-brothers, I guess, Jim, they keep a path in Lake Michigan because there's a path so ships can come and go, but some years it's very difficult. By the way, you're in these little bitty rickety boats, and Paul is, he's got things to do. But how do you pull this off? Paul had to plan his work and then work his plan around this problem of winter, which you couldn't travel on the Mediterranean. Now, we can travel today on the Mediterranean. It's not a big deal. But in those days, with those little boats, a big deal. Next, Paul had to plan his movements around sea travel on the Mediterranean. Acts 27 is the longest letter in the ancient world on a shipwreck and sea travel. So you actually get this. In Acts 27:9, it says, now when much time was spent and when sailing was dangerous. Everyone look at me. I'm old, Jim. Not quite as old, but when I joined the United States Navy that fall, it was too late to be traveling on Lake Superior, a ship by the name of the Edmund Fitzgerald, an ocean-going vessel, sank in Lake Superior. Friends, if those would sink, these little things Paul was on scare you to death. By the way, the greatest shipwreck saga is Acts 27. So it says they stayed there too long. Sailing had become dangerous. He says, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, saying, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. He understood travel on the Mediterranean. Verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is an haven, meaning a safe harbor, so you could stay the rest of the winter and not be sunk. By the way, they didn't make it, and the ship did fall apart, and they did go, well, they ended up on the island of Malta. Now, everybody with me. If you're here this morning, my young Marine friend, don't know you. I'm just speaking like I wanted somebody to speak to me as a young sailor. Plan what God wants you to do and work your plan. You're of age where you can start out figuring out, what am I here to do? Do not allow anybody just to push you around. Figure out if you're a military guy and you want to climb the ladder, then figure out how to do it. Don't mess around. Plan your work. Work your plan. Yes? Now we come to the hard part. Let's look back at Titus 3, verse 12. Now I'm into the old grumpy ones in this room. I got to speak to everybody in the crowd this morning. Titus 3, verse 12. Hatan, when or whenever. That's contingency. That's meaning Paul's not sure how he's going. He's planned it. He's trying to work it, but he's not sure how it's going to work out. Whenever or when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus. He doesn't even know who he's going to send. He's not sure who is going to help him accomplish what needs to happen. So there's a lot of contingency in life. Number three, I have said Paul planned his work. Paul worked his plan. Paul also knew that God has his plans. I can't hear any of you. Do you know God has his plans too? Friends, when you read verse 12, you say, this is not an important verse. What you're getting from Paul, if you're doing this thing here, you're realizing that the Apostle Paul had goals in mind. He knew how he wanted to accomplish them, but he realized he wasn't in control of everything. He wasn't sure when it was going to happen. He wasn't even sure who he was going to send. There's a contingency to life. You say, why? God has plans too. Well, I put on the board behind me, as the old joke is, if you want to make God laugh, if you want to make God laugh, some of you are looking at me like you're from outer space. Just tell God what you're going to do. I know what I'm going to do. Good luck. By the way, we've had lots of people through this church through the years that have struggled when they get disappointed because their plans don't happen. Why did you ever think you were in charge of your life if you're a Christian? This is what a Christian does. They ascertain or discern what God wants them to become and do. They plan that work, they work that plan, and then they also know, yeah, but God has his own plans too. You don't want God laughing at you for being a fool. Proverbs 16, verse 1. Says this, the preparations of the heart in man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God wants us to prepare. He wants us to prepare our thoughts. He wants us to do all that. But there's another side that God does, and they're not exactly the same. Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart, by the way, this is not negative, deviseth his way. You think about what you want to do and become. Yeah, but the Lord directeth his steps. There's always this, I'm going to plan what I'm going to do. I'm going to work my plan, but I also have to do like Paul. But I'm not sure who I'm sending, and I'm not sure exactly when it's going to happen. It's contingent because God has a will also, and God's will might not be my will. God might have other plans. Can I have an amen? Look at me in the eyes. Dave Haas is the cause. Everybody clear? Haas? I met with him at that little restaurant over on, is it 45? What's it called? Red something? What? Red Schoolhouse. Had a nice lunch with Dave Haas. Came home, took a nap, got up. I'm going to be very generic. Couldn't go to the bathroom. By the way, all of you that don't go to doctors, you're going to a doctor with this. I can remember this. I didn't know what was wrong. I had no clue. All I knew is, I'll try to make this generic. Trying to go to the bathroom, I was doing this. You say, how long did you put up with that? Are you ready? All Friday night, Saturday morning. Till I finally realized, this ain't getting better. Go down to the hospital. All I can say, I'm going to use one Greek word. It's the worst Greek word you've ever heard. Catheter. Oh, my goodness, did I feel better after that catheter. Friends, that was the beginning. Then, tests, MRIs, x-rays, SNPs. And they tell you the good news. Are you all listening? You say, I'm in control of my life. Tell that to Lindsey Graham. Some of you are like, who? By the way, Jim, Lindsey Graham was about a year and a half older than me. He's 71, and he just gone. By the way, friend, I can still remember, I knew what the problem was after a point. I knew it wasn't going to look good. And the doctor said, you're going to have surgery. Oh, goody. By the way, look at me. That's part of my 10-year plan. Cancer surgery. Yes. Friends, for some of you, plan your work. Work your plans. For the rest of you that are already doing that, you better know that God has plans too. And those plans, he doesn't ask your opinion. He doesn't come to you and say, what do you think? I've been a member of this church a long time now as the pastor. I've had friends. I remember Linda going seeing my friend Ade the day he had his stroke. I'm like, he's healthy. Where'd that come from? Do you remember me being there? I can still see him, everything. I'm sure Ade said, you know what? I want to have a stroke. Can I say this? There's people in this room that aren't listening. You never listen to anything. God will have to ruin all of your little plans for you to realize the simple fact. Yes, plan your work. Yes, work your plans. Yes, God has plans too. All I know is my 5-year, 10-year, or lifetime plans never included cancer. Has anybody else had cancer in this room? Well, 10 years ago or so, maybe even 15, my right knee started causing me problems. Sometimes when I walked, it just was bad. It was weak. So I did some things, tried to strengthen it. By the way, most of the time it was okay. Sometimes it hurt. Sometimes it hurt a lot, very rarely. 2025, first week of January. I'm going to walk the whole distance. I was in our bedroom on this side of the bed. I walked around. Can't be any farther than what about here, Jenny? All I know is went to the restroom, washed my face, was going back into the bedroom, and my left... And I couldn't use my left knee. It wasn't my right knee. It was my left knee, which I found out is if you strain one knee and you put all the emphasis on the other knee, which knee goes out first? Can I say something? Boy, I can still remember coming home from the hospital after knee surgery, drugged up. I had my little walker. Bless God, I was going to be walking in 2 weeks. That day, Jenny knows, I went outside, walked up and down the sidewalk at least three times back and forth, not sidewalk, our driveway. I'm the man. I didn't realize I was still on drugs. The next day, I was not the man. The next day, my wife kept giving me drugs. She would like to give me a lot more drugs, but that's by the way, you say, how did you jump up for that? By the way, now don't ask me how my knee is. Now I'm thinking about getting that right knee fixed soon. I have a question. Do you think it was part of my 5-year plan? I got two problems in this church. I got a group of people that live their life in the moment for pleasure. Their whole life is wrapped up in just having fun. You have no life. You have no clue why God has you on earth. Here's my comment to you. Plan your life. Work your plan. Paul did that. For then I got a group over here that trying to control life. Good luck on that one. Because then Paul says, I might send Artemis. I might send Tychicus. And by the way, he might have ended up sending Timothy. He didn't know when it was going to happen. He didn't know who was going to be there. Because God has plans too. I hope you understand that. Knee surgery was a great success. Part of my plans? No. What I wanted to do? No. Oh, it was not what I wanted to do. Is it good for me? Yes, now.
Friend, life happens. So Paul planned his work and worked his plan. Paul also knew that God had plans. Well, let's go to the fourth concept. And we're going to have to work through a different text quickly for that. I'm going to give you the fourth concept. Paul adapted his plans to God's plans. Paul adapted his plans to God's plans. I'm going to say this. Bob Jones Sr. used to have some quotes on the what makes a great person. One of them was always faithfulness. He would always say, a great man has faithfulness. He would also talk about being flexible. Can I say this? The older you get, the more you have a problem with trying to control things, and the less control you'll have. Here's all I can tell. One group, listen, plan your work. Work it. Quit messing around. The other group, sorry, you're going to have to realize God has plans too. And you say, what are those plans? And here's my thing. I don't know. Most of my life has been wonderful. Most of it. Hasn't yours? But there's been a few things along the way that's like, Lord, that was not part of my 5 or 10 or 20 or 30-year plan. I didn't plan on having cancer. I didn't plan on having knee surgery. I didn't plan on having cataracts. Yeah, not part of my plan. Well, number four is, and here it is, Paul, this is for the other group, adapted his plans to God's plans. Do you know I know everybody in the room when I mention next Sunday is going to be different? I know who gristles. I know who does this. Because we have control issues. You can't control life. You have to learn to flow and work and adapt with what God brings into your life. Now, we don't have to pray about it. Paul has a whole 2 sections of 1st and 2nd Corinthians about it. Read with me, please. Now, Paul says in 1st Corinthians, I will come unto you when or whenever again I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through, you know, I'm planning on passing through Macedonia. And it, notice the language, and it what? Do you understand that's contingent or uncertain? He says it may be that I will abide, yea, and do what? Winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. His mission work. We'll talk about that next week. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 1:15. All right, everybody look at me. Let me give you the background. Paul says, I'm going to come to visit you. The basic idea was, I'm going to come on the way there or on the way back, I'm going to visit you. Are you listening? Paul didn't get to visit. Why? He planned his work. He worked his plan, but God has plans too. And you must adapt your life to God's plans. Well, some of us struggle with that little piece of the puzzle. Well, let's keep reading. This was the church at Corinth. After Paul said, I'm going to do this, it may be. They didn't hear the may part. Verse 15. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that I might have a second benefit. The idea being is I can be a blessing to you again. I've already been a blessing to you. I can be a blessing again. That was my plans. And in that confidence, that's what I planned to do. Verse 16, and to pass by you into Macedonia and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, or of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. I mean, he had plans. He planned his work. He worked his plans. God had other plans. Verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, meaning I planned, I intended, did I use lightness? Am I one of these emotions? By the way, look at me. Do you know people? Have you met people like this? I'll come visit you next summer. I have people in my family. If they said that to me, that means what? They use lightness. They want to tell you what you want to hear. Love you, praying for you, see you next year. Now, I got a text last night or this morning, a guy's going to be in town tomorrow. By the way, he will be here unless something drastic happens. He wants to meet me for lunch, John Paquette again. Can I say this to you? He'll be here. I have people that use lightness. You don't trust anything they say? Paul's saying, do you think I use lightness? I just kind of do emotions? Continue reading. Or the things that I purpose. Do I purpose according to the flesh, meaning emotionally, that with me there should be yea, and yea means yea, and nay, nay? What are you getting at? He says, but as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. But his plans didn't come to fruition. I'm going to say all the points again, and then we'll conclude this morning.
Paul planned his work. He worked his plan, but he also knew God has his plans. So Paul must adapt his plans, and being flexible, learning to adapt to what God does. You say, how many people have I loved? Marty Marriott and I became friends weirdly. And I just say this, he never planned on having heart problems. He never planned on having cancer in his eye. You don't plan that, but he lived his life until the last about 2 days to the fullest when he was no longer able. My friend, that's it. You adapt. Deo volente, God willing. All right, put a name up there. Everybody see the name. Just John, this is somebody you should write down and look up. Andrew Cross. I came across this guy 2 weeks ago. Everybody hear me? 2 weeks ago. He's called the Desert Drifter. He is a guy, young guy, 36 years old, in his 30s, that spent a lot of time in the American Southwest. I love history, archaeology, ancient places, cliff dwellings. I love that stuff. I came across this guy's videos, and I mean, it fascinated me. He has bunches of them. My wife says they're too long. A lot of them are 30 minutes. Go to the next picture. Picture of he and his wife. Beautiful couple. By the way, believers, Christians. Okay? Next picture. That's them out, going out looking for rock art in the American Southwest, looking at ancient cliff dwellings. Another picture. That's basically what he looks like 90% of the time. Friday night. Did I say he's a Christian? And his wife is a Christian, like you. 36, Friday night. I see I have a message or two. Sorry, I shouldn't do this. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. Should have been in bed. Have you ever been there? I was looking at my phone. I looked at the message, which was nothing. I decided, and I clicked on Facebook. I shouldn't have. And there was one of his videos. And I thought, I'm going to watch one more video before I go to sleep. Can I say this to you? I wish I hadn't watched the video. It was his last video. He went out in the desert, found some interesting stuff. He took video of it. I mean, when I say desert, mountain, you know, Southwest, mountains, cliffs, valleys, all of that. And at the bottom of the video, it said this, at the introduction. He passed away, and they had unplugged him, because a drunk driver hit him on the way home from shooting his last video. He was in a coma for a month. So I want to say this. Hey, 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 sleepy heads, you better wake up. You leave this place today. You live your life. You plan what God has for you. You work your plan, and you better know that God has his plans too. When I woke up this morning, Lindsey Graham, 71, is gone. A major conservative senator from South Carolina, gone. Now, I'm not going to be negative. Look at me. I've lived a good life. I enjoy my life most of the time. I've had so many great things. But can I say this? We live our life either not planning it or worse, thinking we're in control. Both of them are false. In the nitty-gritty, plan your work. Work your plan. Listen, recognize God also has plans. Learn to adapt your plans. I'm thinking to myself, by the way, it bothered me. I had to tell Jenny the next morning because I'd send them videos to her. She looked it up. It bothered me because here's a young man dead because of a drunk driver who, by the way, did get at least 10 years in prison for killing him. God bless that. At least we have a little bit of justice in this stupid country. But can I say this? He's still gone. What about his wife? Do you think she signed up for that? So where are you at in the sermon, in the nitty-gritty? Who are you? Are you going to walk out of here this morning, go back to living your life for nothing? Do you have plans? Do you have goals? Do you have things God wants you to be and do? Or are you going to walk out here thinking, I'm in control. I don't like anybody to interrupt my schedule for the next 27 years. Doesn't work that way at all.
Let's pray. Father, how do we look at life? Some of us don't do well when it comes to the day stuff. We do great when we're doing the religious talk and the presentation and the smiles. But just bringing this into life. I know why I'm here generally. I'm here to pastor, be a friend to some people, to be a father, grandfather, brother, friend. I'm here to teach pastors. I'm here to work. I'm here to accomplish. Husband, a lot of different things. Father, help us to plan that and work our plans. Help us to quit living according to impulse, the last impulse that passed through our brain. On the other side, we have to come to the place where we recognize you have plans too. And we must adapt our plans to your plans. We must kindly, sweetly submit to that. For your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are your thoughts higher than our thoughts and your ways than our ways. Help us to sweetly follow you. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.